I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight, with me, Omar Abid, and my co-host and friend, Kelly Rickard, who isn't here for this intro. We have an interview coming up, but we forgot to record an intro because Kelly and I, what doctors describe as clinically stupid. But more importantly, as I say, we do have an interview, and it's with Lara. One of the first couples who left the show, but her and Richie made a really big impact. There was a lot of talking points about them. And this is a great interview. She's really funny, really charismatic. I mean, I thought she came across well on the show, but you really get a sense of what she's actually like rather than just trying to manage a difficult situation. So we hope you enjoy it. Also, I just want to say thank you for everyone who's listening, because our numbers are going through the roof. Every episode we release is breaking our previous record. So we want to thank you all for your support and for listening to the podcast. We're climbing the Apple charts. So if you could give us ratings and reviews and, recommend us to anyone else you know who likes Married at First Sight, that would be much appreciated. We're hoping to beat our peak last year of number 14 in the charts. It's going to be difficult because there's about 48 different House of Dragons podcasts, but we really appreciate you all listening. Thanks. Okay, so we'd like to welcome to Maths Hysteria one of the participants who's now left, but definitely one of the most interesting people. I think most reasonable and probably the most hard done by, Lara.
Yay! Thanks, guys. I said, it says a lot when I'm the most reasonable person in a room. Like, Jesus Christ.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, it's a low bar to hit, doesn't it?
It really is. You know, I say, like, you always have one friend in a group who's, like, just talks about themselves, super into themselves, thinks they're the most funniest person in the world, and pretty much takes up all the conversation. Now, take that person out of every friendship group and put them in one room, and that's what doing this show is. It's just all the narcissists from all everyone's personal groups all together. It's frightening, honestly.
How much thought did you put in beforehand to going on the show? Was it a rash decision, or had you been thinking about it for a few years?
No, it was a rash decision. I'm a massive fan. I'm a bit of a super fan, if I'm honest. And I was at home watching the show, and the thing came on and said, do you want to apply? And I was like, shit, I've been on my own forever. And obviously everything I've done hasn't worked. What could go wrong? Dun, dun, dun. But my friends laughed at me because all the way through the process, when I was interviewed for it over like the space of 6 or 7 months, my friends would say to me, so like, what do you do? Where do you go? How long is it? All the stuff. And I'd say, I don't know. I mean, I didn't ask any questions at all. I was only concerned that I had ordered a husband and I was going to be presented with one and I was going to live happily ever after. And everything else, I just fucking ignored. So that's on me.
No, but I actually think that's part of the industry that you come from, because you're a dancer, Lara, aren't you?
I am, yes.
And I come from a singing background, and you get so used to just saying yes to a job without asking any questions.
Exactly.
If you're in an audition and you start going, how much is it? And how long's the contract? You can't, you learn to just go, yeah, great.
Yeah. So can you ride a horse? Yes. Can you fly? Yes. And you think, fuck, I'll just figure that out later. So yes to everything. Plus, I'm not bothered. I'm really easygoing as a person. Trust me, you'd love to take me on holiday. I do as I'm told. I have no expectations. And I kind of think sometimes it's better because I'm never really, well, I say that now, but I'm never really disappointed. I'm a little disappointed now, but...
So you said you'd been alone forever.
Yeah.
What was the history going into it in terms of dating?
Well, I've got two boys. So, you know, as a single mother, it's hard to bring people home because the kids get attached if you date somebody. And when the men leave, the kids get heartbroken and they don't check in on them, do they? I had a relationship years ago for a little bit, and my oldest son, who was only like 11 at the time or something, said, please don't date anybody again. He was absolutely heartbroken. And plus, you always think when these guys are like, whoa, single mom, two kids, and like, I think maybe they're pedophiles. Why do they want to come home to your house? You know, I'm like, I just can't. So
I think, you know, that is a valid point. You've got to be careful, Lara.
That's not a valid point.
Yes, it is. I love kids. How much? You know,
I always say I love a man that's really, really good with his own children. But a man who's really good with other people's children, I get a bit concerned.
Red flags. Yeah, exactly.
Red flag, yes. Omar.
I never date a clown.
People are just nice.
Nice.
Aren't we, though?
Right, I'd like to congratulate you on this is our second year of doing the show, and I think that is absolutely the first mention of paedophilia.
Well, hold on to your hats, Omar. It's getting crazy.
Lara, what did you think, honestly, when you first saw Richie at the top of the aisle?
I feel bad because I keep going, oh, I wasn't, like, it's like thinking, oh, I want to rip his clothes off. But I really thought he had a kind face. He had great energy. And I honestly, I thought like things were going to be okay. And when they told me that he was a rock star, I didn't realize it was going to be more like, you know, like X Factor. but, you know, still, I mean, yeah, I thought things on the surface seemed like, you know, they could work. I mean, I've never been a person who really dates for looks anyway. It's more like the personality that draws me in. The only unfortunate thing is when the personality ends up being shit, you then stop to fancying them altogether. So, so I was very hopeful for sure.
How many times on the wedding day did, or over the course of the honeymoon as well, did Richie tell you that he's never been in a serious relationship? Because it seemed like every 20 seconds he brought it up.
I know, right? Like it was one of those dolls with a string. I've never been in a relationship. To be honest, he wasn't that really interested in talking to me about stuff when the cameras were off. So as long as we weren't filming, I was kind of left alone.
Really?
Oh.
Because
yeah.
Obviously, I was going to say the narrative has been that he's... that he used to head over heels, like from the off.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this puppy boy kid has all this love to give. And I'm kind of like, oh, I can't be bothered because I've already done it a million times. I know, which kind of sucks. But yeah, that's why I look so uncomfortable, I think, because I felt like for whatever reason, that when the cameras were on, he was all in. And then when the cameras were off, he wasn't in. I honestly don't think he asked me a question about myself that he wasn't asked to ask me on camera. So I think he found the process difficult. I think he didn't realize how much it was going to take out of you. Like it really is quite in your face all the time. So if you're not really a strong person to deal with that, like I mean, I don't mind being told what to do and where to go and, you know, sit here, wait here, but some people really struggle with it. And I don't know if that maybe that's what was going on, but he wasn't into me off camera.
Wow.
That is a shock.
That is a shock. There was a
big... That's why I felt uncomfortable, because it didn't feel realistic to me. It didn't feel authentic. And that's why I felt looked so uncomfortable in most of the shots.
There was a bit that you alluded to, which was just before you decided to leave, where you'd said you'd been intimate, but he hadn't been comfortable with you bringing up past lovers. And I thought that was so fascinating. And I thought, brilliant. And then they never mentioned it again on the program. What happened there?
It was crazy. And you're going to laugh because it's so stupid. The comment I made was, I like lazy sex in the morning because I like to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't need to hear how you have sex with other men. Slam the door. Walked out. But what really upset me was he then made himself 3 separate cups of coffee and didn't offer me one. And now I really believe that when you have sex with somebody, making them a hot beverage is just polite.
Yes. It is, Laura. It's the bare minimum they should do for you.
Especially because I'd been making dinner and I'm quite wifey that way. And I'm, you know, sorry, ladies, but I don't mind, you know, doing that kind of thing, making the food and cleaning up. So, but, you know, I've been taking care of him for a week, you know, I felt at least I deserved like a hot beverage. So that's what annoyed me. And then obviously things boiled over during the day because I was, you know, he was arsing with me for like a good 4 or 5 hours. And then I got annoyed, you know, like I tried to joke it off and let it go. And he wouldn't let go of it. And then I lost my shit because I was like, I've had enough of this. And then he walked out. So I moved into another apartment. So it was all very strange, you know.
You see, this is very interesting because already, I mean, we've been speaking to you for about 10 minutes and already we've seen much more animation and you're funny, completely different to what we've seen on the show, because on the show it always just seemed like you were having to explain.
Constipated, yeah, or I was holding in a wee really hard and they said, you know, 10 more minutes and you can go, and I look like I'm just on the cusp, right? I know, but my friends and family, like all the general public have said lovely things and that they thought I came off well and I, you know, but, and I guess I did, but that's not who I am. And my friends and family have keep saying to me, we're so disappointed because it just didn't look like you at all. Like, you know, like I'm always cracking jokes or saying things I shouldn't be saying or doing things. But also he, from the beginning of when we started seeing each other, he didn't like the way I was, and he didn't like that I was too loud and I said things that were a bit vulgar and things, and it cut it down and down. And what the thing that really stuck with me in the end is one of the last things he said to me, like in the end, I just stopped being me because it just caused grief. And then I thought the less I became, the better it was. And he said to me, I really love that I've got to see the real you finally. And I thought that, and I wasn't me at all anymore. And that's when I think you can just see me like I've just had enough. But the thing is, I think you can tell in a good relationship, a healthy relationship, that people bring you up. And I think that's what upset my friends and family, that they could see how low I looked all the time. And because that's what it was doing to me, it was pushing me down and down and down until the point where I was just like, what is going on?
That statement there has made me so sad that the less I became, the easier it got.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing the exact same story play out with Gemma because she was herself.
Yeah.
And sexual language, and the world has gone berserk and called her vulgar and rude and compared her to a sexual predator. So she's now, if you watch her body language on the program, she's just
turning inside. Yeah, you can see it. And I've said it before. I'm going to use the word again. I think it's absolute gaslighting on his behalf, because I feel like he wasn't into her, but he didn't want to be the bad guy on national TV and say, I don't like her for whatever reason. I don't fancy the look of her. And I think he thought, this is a great thing. I'm going to keep banging on about this thing that she's done so that in the end, I'm not the bad villain when I say that I don't want to be with her. She's not for me, because I can put it on her. Right. And I think that's exactly what's going on in this situation. And she feels like she, whatever she does, she can't come back for it, because that's the narrative he's decided. And he's going to stick with it, right? So,
amen. You should be on the program, Laura. You should be the fourth expert. And also be my friend, please.
Yes. I give great advice. I just don't take any of my own. That's my problem.
So just back to those early days with Richie. How was the honeymoon then? And we've seen you in Bavaria in the hot tub with a nice warm hat, breakfast in bed, all that kind of stuff.
Bloody Bavaria. I mean, Germany, love it. But honeymoon, what a shit place they sent us, right? Like, honestly, I felt like we were the joke couple from the start because I thought, come on. You know, I was thinking, sexy is warm on the beach, walking in the pool. And I felt like it was just set up for disaster from the start. Plus, we were in the middle of nowhere. You couldn't go and get away from each other because it was freezing cold and there was nothing. So, like, we were stuck together. And I feel like even when things were a bit weird, that he could have gone and taken himself out of the situation, or I could have done, you know, I mean, he could have followed me, but, but, you know, we could have had some separation from each other and we could have had, I just think it would have, I did say this to Channel 4 that just, you know, a note from me that it wasn't helpful to us to go somewhere that was so cold. Being somewhere warm would have been easier for us to grow our relationship a little bit better in a healthier way. So, I mean, take it on, don't take it on.
Somebody actually asked us on Twitter, as though we have any inside information, like, how do they decide the honeymoons? Because I assume they just did it for variation because, yeah, fair enough, you want to go to the Maldives and everything, but if everyone's just on a beach, visually, it's not as interesting to look at.
Yeah. But I think they just decide who looks better in bathing suits, maybe. Maybe everybody said, don't put the 50-year-olds in a thong. Richie with nothing on but a guitar.
It was on the wedding night, wasn't it, that you first got the guitar out?
Oh yes, he sang to me at the wedding.
what did you when he? I mean, obviously you're from an artistic background, so you must have been at parties where people have pulled the guitar out and stuff like that.
I actually was on a beach in Thailand, and some guy got an acoustic guitar out, and I was drunk and kicked it out of his hands. So. I mean, you can see, listen, I also wanted to be very courteous and polite, and I didn't want to be the girl that comes in. I mean, because he's coming in as a stranger, as I am, and I didn't want to be the person who went, oh, great, play me a song, what a dick, you know? So I was like, okay, but you can see my face hasn't worked out what it's supposed to do, because when you watch it, my lips and my eyes are like, looks like I'm having kind of mini strokes, because I think I'm trying to figure out, is this a good thing? Do I like this? What is happening? But also, he said, there's something I really want to show you. And I was 99% sure he was going to tell me he had a vagina. So I was so relieved when the guitar came out. Do you know what I mean? Because I thought, because that seems like the kind of thing that would happen to me. Do you know what I mean? Like, go like, surprise, you know, like, so I was just like, I was so scared about what this thing he was going to show me was. I just was like, the guitar seemed like a win at that point. So,
Lara, after hearing him play, would you have preferred it if it was a vagina he was about to show you?
100%. I think I could have worked with that. I said, it was like the first thruple on Married at First Sight, Richie, me and his guitar. I said, wouldn't have been so bad if it had vibrated, but whatever.
And then on the honeymoon, then we saw, and this is where I got a good screenshot of the look on your face when
I'm a meme.
Yeah, it was one of the first big memes of this series. Yeah, exactly. But it was the perfect moment of like, I'm getting a lot of attention I do not enjoy or want from this.
When he tried to stick his fingers inside my glove.
I've
said that to people and they went, is that a euphemism? I went, no, like, seriously, it's not. Like, he was like trying to put his fingers in my glove. Oh. But I think the reason, I don't think he meant to come off as creepy as it came up, but I think because he wasn't being genuine, if he really felt it and he really meant it, it would have looked natural. But because I think it was being forced, it comes off so much worse than it did. And I think he didn't do himself any favors that way. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't think that's the look he was going for, but I did get a lot of messages asking me if I wanted them to call the police and to blink if I was being held against my will.
So
blinking.
So how early on did you think that this isn't genuine? This is like very forced. Because I know you've said like it was almost instant. Was that right?
Yeah. It wasn't great from the start. But going into before you see us at the first commitment ceremony. we had a chat, and I said, like, we had a few days apart from each other when we come back from the honeymoon. And I said, look, I said to myself, I wasn't going to judge anything because, you know, meeting a stranger, he'd said he'd never, 50 times, never in a relationship. And I thought maybe he was just terrified, right? So I thought, I'm not going to judge any of this behavior. I'm just going to let it go. And maybe he'll realize I'm a good person and relax and we can move forward. I had my doubts at the end of the honeymoon and I kind of started to get a bit worried and actually terrified. But then we came back together and I said to everyone at Channel 4, if it's positive and he's trying, I'm absolutely going to continue to try. And it looked like things were turning around when we went to the first commitment ceremony. I could see him stopping himself and thinking about things first before he said it. And I was like, if I see movement in a positive direction, I'm going to stick with it. But as we moved in together, things slid back pretty quickly. So,
well, I was going to say I think it was the first dinner party, actually, because that's exactly what I was going to ask you about, the commitment ceremony, where you were at going into that. But the dinner party, and it's happened with Sophie and Jonathan this week as well, where he was properly patronising when Richie said to you, can we talk about things calmly, though?
he gaslit the shit out of me on that because I didn't know that he'd gone in and said, oh, you know, like maybe I said something wrong, but you know, she does the share and she just goes a bit off. And like he was really suggesting that I had some kind of anger problems and he was trying to bait me at that dinner table. You know, the thing that annoyed me about that bit when they edited it is that we actually have a whole thing where his mask slips a little bit and he doesn't like that people can see. The whole table kind of goes, like he was really trying to get me to. He was being a little bit nasty, and he was very good to hide that from the rest of the group, you know. And then I think he, on top of that, he was trying to make it look like maybe I'm a bit of a whatever. But then instead of showing the reaction of the group or going to the experts, they can say, come on, Richie, that's not nice, you know. They get the big lesbian reveal back from the toilet, you know. They cut to Zoe. Zoe's come from the toilet. Let's go back to that. And I was like, who cares if Zoe came from the toilet? We're having a moment. Somebody show this. And then I've got a lot of people saying, like, I feel like I blinked and it was over and we don't know what's happened. A lot of people were very confused by the edit. So, but yeah, I think after that happened, that was when we realized we weren't going to be able to, you know, fix anything because the reaction to things that have happened were not kind of in keeping with what was going on. So, yeah, it was, I just thought it was better for us all to just cut it.
Well, in terms of the editing as well, another really weird moment I thought, and I know Kelly thought this as well, was that first commitment ceremony. He seemed to give some real weird, like Braveheart type speech about his emotions and stuff. And I was like, mate, what the fuck are you talking about? How's this gone
from? He does it so much.
It was when he said, I know you will never leave me because I'm almost healed. And I
put you in a box and I cut your head off.
He was like, get that woman out of there. This is not okay.
Yeah, like there was a lot of those speeches. I mean, they had to cut it down for editing, but there was a lot of eat, pray, love, journey stuff going on. And I was like, I know everybody keeps going, oh, you know, find out about yourself. I know who I am. I mean, I'm flawed and a bit of an idiot sometimes, but I'm 50. This is as good as it's going to get for me. I'm not here on an eat, pray, love journey to, you know, find myself. I'm not going to join an ashram. So, like, I just wanted a husband. I didn't want to be going to therapy for the next 30 years. I don't give a shit about that. I know a lot of people took that as me saying I was too lazy to work on it. I'm happy to work on it, but with somebody who's just like, let's watch some Netflix, let's go to the cinema, let's go on a holiday, let's chill and hold hands and walk through the park, let's not sit and, you know, like do like primal screams. I just don't know what's happening.
So in the room when he's giving that speech, because what we've seen is like people going, yeah, go Richie, go. And yeah, you seem to be forgotten. So were you just sat there bemused by what?
Yeah. I mean, I was so confused. But what annoyed me is I kept thinking, is somebody going to say something? Like, is someone going to point out that he's not making any sense? Because at one point I thought maybe I was being microdosed because I was thinking, like, he's going, yeah, like sometimes when I'm off in the distance walking alone and looking at my hands and thinking, yes, well, and I'm like, they just asked us, you know, like, if we've been talking positively to each other. And at some point, he's actually nearly sat on my lap and leaning forward. So he's like in front of me on the couch. Like, and I was going, like, it was, the commitment ceremony that at the end when we left. And I know they, unless you watch The Unveiled and you saw the whole thing, he sings to me at the end of that commitment ceremony.
Oh, my God.
A cappella.
Oh,
God almighty.
What thank you for giving me the strength, love. Thank you. You weren't the one for me. Like, why is he pointing him? We all know who I am. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's going to hate me after this podcast, isn't he?
that being said, Lara, when you did decide to leave, I thought it was quite funny that you said, I've decided to leave, and then turned and showed
him. I know. Someone on Twitter wrote, come on, Lara. He knows. He gets it. You didn't have to turn around and show him. I kind of felt like I did, though.
Yeah, there was.
Sorry, Richie.
There were definitely moments where even after, as he got off the couch, and all the other cast were coming over to give you a hug and everything, he was desperately clinging onto your hand.
Thank you. Thank you. I know. I was like, it was, even when we went back to do The Unveiled, it was like, he was trying to hold my hand when we got on the stage and I nearly fell off the stage trying to shake it back off again. I think as soon as we're together and it's being filmed, he kind of reverts back into that place, but we're not there anymore. I don't want to be nasty about it because I feel like I really tried to be good about the whole situation, but it's, you know, after a while you start to rethink it and think it and start to get more annoyed and more annoyed. And plus I didn't get a husband, and that is what I went in for, and that's what I wanted, you know, so that sucks a little bit. I don't think I'll be dating for quite some time.
I mean, it sounds like your only precondition was that you don't want a paedophile.
Yeah, I said alive and with a job, and that maybe that's on me. So just note to everybody, if you decide to, it's great, the show's great, the process is wonderful, but you might want to go, maybe not Whitney, but maybe not Lara either, somewhere nicely in between when you ask for somebody just not to be alive. So, yeah.
A memorable moment for me was the football match. I'm totally confused about what's going on then in those moments of where, because you were being physical with him, but was it just a case of like, oh, I'm here.
Yeah, it's just going to fuck my way out of it. Why not? A little bit of that, but you know, it's like, what can I do to fix this? Yeah, I'm just gonna, I kind of was like, I'm going to try and match his energy. I'm going to try and like, he seems to, like, I'm going to just go all in and see if this is me, because maybe it is me. Maybe I'm the reason this isn't working, you know, because you go through all this stuff in your head and you think, like, am I just doing the same thing I always do? Is this why it's not moving forward or anything? So, you know, like, yeah, I was like, fuck it, I'm in, let's go, right? And then obviously that didn't work out for me either. Now I'm just the idiot who had sex with the guy who walked out on me. And trust me, it's not because I'm bad in bed. Thank you, Great Britain. I said, I'm never going to get a date after this. Plus, you know, I was so good at the football. You know, that's a turn on for me. He was really kicking those things at my face, though, wasn't he? Like, let's be honest. Like, I'm not a professional goalie, but I'm saying, like, that they were coming in hard.
So I understand you're trying to be polite and you don't want to be too cruel to Richie, but I'm going to sort of force you here.
Yeah, because I feel like I've already done that.
Well, no, it's just
too little, too late.
Yeah, the horse has bolted, Lara. What I was going to say was, when you say he's not being genuine, what is it you think then that he went on there for?
I think he went on there to, I mean, he's already re-released one of his songs. So I think that says it all. And listen, you know, I get that people go on shows for different reasons, and I'm not judging that. But I think they need to pair people with people that are on for the same reasons, you know, because otherwise it's, as my sister-in-law says, it's apples to kumquats. It doesn't make any sense. Like, I wasn't there to perform or to, like, you know, say, oh, let's tell this joke or you make a funny face. Like, I was just like, just me. So you've got me on one side looking confused and weirded out and crying. I mean, I could have filled a well. I mean, I don't normally cry. And I think I'm crying at least every episode of the all four I was in. But I had so many dresses, so little time. But yeah, I feel like it's not fair to go through that whole process if you're not with somebody who's there for the same reasons. Because if you're there for something else, then you have different priorities of how you're going to behave. You know, like I wasn't afraid to be vulnerable or act like an idiot or do whatever because I was going to do whatever it took. You know, I was going to have sex with the guy just to fix things and make things work and try to move the relationship forward, you know? So I think that's kind of that's a bit of a shitty place to be. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I do apologize. I put my hands up, but I'm usually not wrong. So
what's next for you now? Are you going to give it another chance? Not the program, but Looking for Love, I mean.
No, I'm okay for now. I've got a dog and I've got TV and I've got kids. So I think I'm just going to I'm going to chill for a while. I think it was a lot to go through. And when I say things, I really do mean them. So when I said, like, this is my last chance, I really meant it. Like, I was like, this is it. Because I've tried other things. I've tried dating websites. I've tried going out. I mean, I'm at mum's, so I'm at home at night. So I don't really have a chance to meet men. And bars, everyone's drunk. Online, everyone just wants sex. I just think doesn't seem to be a really healthy way to find love. Was this it? I don't know. I could have gotten paired with somebody fantastic and maybe we could have been Taya from last year and Adam. But you know, but I enjoyed every minute of it. I loved it. I loved the process. I loved everything about doing the show. Even on the bad days, I still loved it. So I'm glad I did it. I wouldn't take that back.
Well, let's talk about some of the high spots. Who were some of your closest friends that you've made from the cast?
Well, Thomas is probably my closest friend, but we weren't that close. So we were close on the show, but I said from the beginning that I knew Thomas was going to bring the drama, and I knew he was going to have fights with everybody, and from the hen do already, I knew that Thomas was going to argue with somebody in the group at least once a week, and I knew if I was his friend, I'd have to support him, and I was there to find a husband, not to back up people. So I was very honest with Thomas, said, love you, love you, love you, but maybe we just chill until we get out. And then, and now I see him all the time, so it's lovely. I see a lot of the people from the show. I think everybody was great. I know Whitney gets bad press, but I even liked Whitney. So, but yeah, I've made friends for life on that show. So I speak to Adrian and Thomas, Shanita, Duca, PJ, the Jess, Jenna, Zoe. I speak to everybody. So, yeah, it's fun. Like the people that you meet, I know it sounds really lame and everyone says it because you watch Love Island and they know each other for 2 days and they're like, oh, my God, please don't go home. We're gonna be friends forever. And you think, shut up. But it really does feel like that because you've been in this situation that no one else can understand. And a day in there is like a month on the outside world. You know, so it's really is quite bonding. I think as we come out of it, though, people will start to a little bit because you're kind of going in all different directions now. You know, our journeys are starting to change. So we'll see.
Yeah, that naturally happens, doesn't it, with people. Something just on a practical level, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people have wondered. How many flats are available? Because people seem to just need to go into a different apartment.
That's why the building is so fucking big. They can't put us in a bungalow, can they? you gotta have a room for everybody and then a second room for everybody. Yeah, like that. It was a big apartment building, but yeah, everybody just seems to be like, yeah, I just want a night on my own. I'm going to move out. Oh, no, she didn't put the shoes back. I'm going to have to get my own apartment. Oh, no, lids off the shoe space. Own apartment. Especially the guys, they're like, fuck, I can get an apartment on my own away from her for 5 minutes. Done. That Matt's never even lived with Gemma. she says hi, Matt, and he goes, oh, it's too much. I need my own apartment. She's talking to me. What is she talking to me? Yeah, I really know, and I hate to be that person that's like, but every time he comes on, I'm like,
I'm with you. Omar has been sharing and retweeting other people calling her a sexual predator, so we're going to be having words about that later. But I'm on your side, I'm Gemma's side.
Yeah, she's lovely. You know, is she a little vulgar? Absolutely. Does she have a massive sexual appetite? Yes, but I don't think that she's she's cornering him in bathrooms and trying to pull his pants down. Like, he's a grown-ass man. Like, if she's your... And these women, right? They went on a honeymoon with somebody that they thought was going to be their husband. And now they were hoping to have sex. I don't think makes them evil people. Like, that's just what you would expect. You know, I think if they were grabbing at them or, you know, I think that would be a different thing. But I just think grown-up people, you can say things like, you know, cock, and people shouldn't be crying about it. You know,
one of my favorite moments was Adrian trying to stifle his laughter when Gemma said she's got a hell of a blowjob on her.
I know, right? But I get what she was saying. She's like, she thought that was like a selling point. Like, you lucky guy, if this is if you would like a blowjob, I do a really great one. Please feel free to ask for one. You know, it's like, I might say to a guy when I meet them, I make great chicken parmesan. You know, and I just, in case you want me to cook dinner for you, I think it's just the same kind of thing. You know, this is what I'm good at. Please take advantage of it.
Yeah, as long as you get a hot beverage afterwards, then it's fine.
Social convention states, you make a hot beverage, and I'm sticking to that one. So, that's just common courtesy.
Oh, so is there anything that you wanted to sort of say to us that you think we haven't covered, or anything you think the program didn't cover other than what you've already said?
I just think it's really... I really hope that everybody who's doing the show just takes everything with a pinch of salt. It's really hard to watch the edit sometimes. I think I got quite lucky, my honeymoon and stuff. I think it really was quite the way it was from, you know, because obviously they can only show what is filmed. And I kind of wish we had cameras in the apartments so that captures everything, because I feel like the audience would get a better view of what's actually happening if people couldn't hide from the cameras. And I think that's the only difference, that the problem with this show is that if you know when you're being filmed, then you act accordingly. And I think it's not always fair on people, not just me, but like even April, you know, like I think you're starting to see that she gets a lot of neediness and accusations off camera that she's having to deal with. So I feel like we don't see the whole story. And I feel like it's hard for people to feel judged when they're not being able to show everything that's going on. So, yeah, I think that would be a nice thing if they could show a little bit more of what's really happening behind the scenes. That would probably be helpful.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting discussion, because that's sort of what we spoke about with Paul last week as well, that, you know, how much footage can they bring in? And it's really interesting that you've said about your experiences with Richie, because the whole debate this week, as the week's gone on, is, well, Matt's different to how we first thought. And Gemma's saying we're not seeing the full story. You've said it's not, you haven't been portrayed. Although, like you said, you've come off well, but we've not seen what Richie was really like. So...
And Whitney as well with Duca. Like, I love Duca. And now even I'm going, is there something I wasn't seeing? Like, what is she seeing that we're not seeing? Because it seems like a lot of bold statements about being fake that we're not, unless you can see what's happening behind the scenes, she's making bold statements, you're not seeing it. Is she telling the absolute truth? Isn't she telling the truth? Is Duca different when the cameras are on to when they're off? We can't tell, can we? So it's really hard to decide who's telling the most truth, you know, because there's always three sides to a story, isn't there? So,
absolutely.
Okay, Laura, thanks for coming on. That was, it was different to how I thought it was going to be.
It was an absolute treat. You should have your own TV program. You're brilliant. Yeah. Honest, charismatic, funny. Fantastic.
Thank you. If you could tell all the networks, that would be fantastic. Not that I enjoy working at Slim Chickens, but still.
Oh, yeah. Where do you work in Five Guys?
I work at Slim Chickens next door now. And it's so funny because a woman was sending me messages on Instagram saying, I've been in five times and you haven't been there. And I said, I work next door now. And she came and banged on the window. So, but I was cleaning gum off a stool the first time someone recognized me. And I was like, this is not living my best life, is it? Are you on the teller?
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much,
Laura.
Guys. Bye. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.